Okay, and the Mishnah is going to be dealing with the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, and the Chachamim with the issue of mercury. Outside of these rabbinic sources, and as the rabbi, when he passed by, was noting, the Daf Yomi also just did this, about worshipping Margulis. So outside of that, and I think one reference in St. Jerome Sam found, there is no reference in classical sources that I can find that speaks about mercury being worshipped by throwing stones at it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it deals with this issue, deals with it in the context of an Avodah Zarah that is worshipped in a way that is denigrating. The twin Avodah Zarah, and this is obviously an Avodah Zarah that was long gone by the time of Chazal, was Baal Peor. And the way they claim that you worship Baal Peor was by defecating on it. Not exactly what we would think is an Avodah Shel Kavod. One does wonder whether or not... There's a part of me that wonders whether this is really historically accurate, or this is in the spirit that Chazal have, that it's okay to make fun of Avodah Zarah. Normally, Leitzanus is Aser, except for Kol Leitzanus Asirin Bar Leitzanus Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara Megillah talks about, has some things that I think would not be fit for me to say. I'm wondering if it's to print things that you can say to a guy, which have their modern-day analogs, but I will not say them here. But nonetheless, that's the way the Gemara describes it. Even thus tells a story about it, about one particular guy who did it, but in order to despise the Avodah Zarah, but nonetheless, maybe he had to bring a chatas, because that's its Avodah, and similarly by throwing a stone at Mercury. Now, so Mercury certainly would have been a contemporary Avodah Zarah of the Chachmei HaMishnah.
Mohammedans throw stones at the Kabbalah.
It's amazing how many people know this. I had yes, they throw it to get rid of the devil or something. Yeah. Sam found that from Rabbi Steinmetz, was aware of this. It's quite a bikias. So anyway, but bottom line is that it's not in classical sources. It doesn't appear in connection with mercury, but it's kind of hard to know what to make of that. But the Mishnah itself presents a machlokas hatanaim in the following regard. There's no question that the basic contours of a mercury typically was you had two stones and you pile a third on top of it. It's a little bit light, but I don't think it's not of Avodah Zarah. If you ever go hiking, many places you'll find they're called cairns. That's how you pronounce the word, C-A-R-N, yeah. Where it's often used as a trail marker, but it also starts to take on a life of its own as well. So people giving you directions to the trail will say, turn left at the cairn, which is good as long as somebody hasn't knocked it down and taken it apart. So, but this seems to be the Avodah Zarah. Oh, that's funny, actually. Mercury is supposed to be the god of the travelers. That's interesting. You're reading my mind. The words are coming out of my mouth. I don't know. That's interesting. But in this particular context, so they used to throw stones at it. That's the way the Mishnah understands. So there are two questions to be dealt with these stones. Number one, what is the status of the stones themselves? As I mentioned last week at the beginning of the shiur, so there's a din that Tikrobes Avodah Zarah itself, and Misham Sheh Avodah Zarah, and Noyeh Avodah Zarah, there is bittul. In other words, if they're worshipped, or they're consecrated, and then the Avodah Zarah is worshipped, so they're Asur B'hana, but a guy can be Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah itself, he could certainly be Mevatel, the Noyeh, or Tashmi Sheh Avodah Zarah. But Tikrovis Avodah Zarah, those things that are brought as part of a sacrificial rite, the libations, the sacrifices, so Tikrovis Avodah Zarah, we have already assumed, and we're going to come back to, has no bittul. So the question would be, if they throw the stones at the mercury, so one would think that the stones themselves should constitute Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. So that's question number one. The Gemara is actually recording machlokas about it, because it's in this sugya, Dafnun and Beis, that the Gemara is going to talk about what is the nature of Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. When is Tikrovis Avodah Zarah, in fact, Asur Olamis? In fact, we're going to see that in when it comes to the Bishonim, there's a machlokas in the Gemara about details of when is Tikrovis Asur. If Tikrovis is not Asur Olamis, and it's related to that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash. What do I mean by that? So I mentioned last week that every Avodah Zarah, you chai misa, if you worship the Avodah Zarah in the way that's normal to worship that Avodah Zarah. If you poer atzmo le pa'or, you defecate on pa'or, if you throw a stone at mercury, whatever would be normal for a particular Avodah Zarah. And then, on top of that, there are four Avodos which you are chai of on, if you do them to any Avodah Zarah, even if that's not the normal way to worship that Avodah Zarah. One of them is separate. The four can be broken into two categories. One is hishtachava, bowing to any avodah zarah, and it's based upon a number of repetitions of the pasuk of where which describes punishing someone, executing someone who bowed to avodah zarah. The other three avodos are haktara, nisuch, and zibuach, slaughtering an animal. Pouring a libation, which apparently Gemara says there in Sanhedrin includes throwing the blood. Those who are doing Daf Yomi just did this, and burning something. He burned incense, burning the animal itself. The reason those three things are chayav is because of a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim: Zoveach lo Elohim yocharam, bilti lashem levado. Someone slaughters to a god, another god. He will be destroyed. He will be killed. Only until God, meaning you're only allowed to worship God. So based upon that pasuk, bilti lashem levado, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin understands that for any avodah zarah, whether it's normal or not normal to worship that avodah zarah, when you do an avodah ke'ein panim, the way it was done in the mikdash, so then you're chayiv to any avodah zarah. So you have those three avodos panim, hishtachava, and then any way that's normal to worship a particular avodah zarah, which you're chayiv misa for doing so. Anything less than that would be a lo sase. You wouldn't be, if you did it b'shoge, you wouldn't be chayiv achatas, and b'mezit you're not chayiv misa. So it seems to be here the Gemara has something analogous, which is that something whose tikroves avodah zarah, whose form of worship is not similar in some way to that of Pinim, is not tikroves avodah zarah. So then there's a machlokas, so it means that it's not usher forever. Then there's a machlokas harishonim, whether it's usher bahana, but bitul works, or you don't even need bitul, it's not usher bahana, because if it's not like they did in the mikdash, there's no issur at all. Yeah, well, eventually we're going to get to that. But one issue, when you're talking about stones in association with mercury, if you're not talking about the mercury itself, the markulus itself, is whether or not those stones are tikroves avodah zarah. The second question becomes, which is going to be discussed here, is what happens if when you throw stones at the mercury, even if it's not the tikroves avodah zarah, what if it becomes part of the mercury? What if it becomes a big mercury? Now, that's the way you do it. You get accretions. It's like the cairn, right? Somebody starts out, puts a few stones there. Somebody else comes along, adds a few stones. It grows. So the question is, if the person throws the stones at the mercury and it's typically left there to become part of the mercury, then it should be asur as part of the avodah zarah. Of course, there is an irony here, which the Gemara is going to get to later, we're not going to get to today, which is, assuming that I throw a stone at the mercury as a form of worship, and I intend for the stone to become part of the mercury, when does the stone, if you assume that it's not tikrovas avodah zarah, I mean, there's no isur on tikrovas avodah zarah because it's not the way they worshipped in the mikdash, so when will that stone become asur b'hana?
From the goy worships, not before.
Ah, which means the next time somebody throws a stone at it. Meaning the stone that you threw it, it's possible that the stone that you threw at it, so now after you throw it, you're worshipping the avodah zarah, now it becomes an accretion to the mercury, but on the assumption that avodah zarah shel goy does not become asur until it has been worshipped, which is machlokas, we're going to explore that as well. It's machlokas atanaim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, a Jew and a goy, which one becomes asur when it's made, and which one only becomes asur when it's worshipped. But if you assume that a goy's avodah zarah only becomes asur when it is actually worshipped, so when you throw the stone at the mercury, if it's not tikroves avodah zarah, but it becomes part of the mercury, it may not become asur b'hana until the next time somebody worships that mercury. But up until that point, it would be no different that, let's say I wasn't worshipping the mercury, I just took a stone and I wanted to make mercury bigger and better. So I take a stone, I put it on. So I haven't, no, if the guy hasn't worshipped it, or Jew, it doesn't matter who worships it yet, hasn't worshipped it yet. So then, that addition, that stone, is not part of the avodah zarah. Right, if you take that stone away, that stone would be fine. This is basically the question you have to deal with the mercury. There's two issues. One is tikroves avodah zarah if it's an issue, and two is whether the stone becomes part of the mercury itself, becomes a tosfos to the avodah zarah.
Why is there a stone considered like ground, which can't be?
So once something is detached from the ground, it has tfisas yaradam. It's not considered karka anymore. Right, so a stone that's still, you know, misheshes yimei brachos, or hasn't been moved by a person, that stone, you can worship, you can dance all night, doing a rain dance to it, worship it in every way, do zibuach kiter nisoch hashtachava, accept it as your god, and it's still motor b'ana because it's karka olam. But once the stone is removed, then as tefisas yadadam, certainly if you detach it from the ground, the stone is no different than anything else. So the Mishnah says as follows: Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shalosh Avanim Zo B'Tzad Zo B'Tzad Markulus Asurus U'Shtayim Mutaris. Rabbi Yishmael believes that if you find three stones, and these three stones, we're going to assume, are not piled up, but you find them near the mercury, they are asuras. If you only find two, they are mutaras. So let's flesh this out for a second. The question is, what is the what are these stones doing there? They're not part of the mercury right now. They're separate. They're bitzad hamarkulus. If Rabbi Yishmael is concerned about the Krovas Avodah Zarah, then what's the problem with the Mishnah?
It's not
Avodah Zarah. No, maybe if the assumption is these stones that are near the mercury were thrown at the mercury, if that's what Rabbi Yishmael is thinking, what would the problem be in the Mishnah? What would the problem be with Hashita? Let's assume there is a Shita in the Gemara that stones also with the Krovas Avodah Zarah. But if that's what Rabbi Yishmael is thinking, what's the problem with the statement as he has it? He says that if you find three stones near the mercury, it's also two stones, it's mota.
Why should there be a distinction?
Yeah, in other words, if the assumption is, if you're assuming when you see stones near a mercury that those stones were thrown at the mercury, and they are to grow a sevo desara, so then it doesn't matter whether it's three or two or one. If the assumption, so that doesn't seem to be what Rabbi Yishmael is thinking. And the Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Yishmael is thinking. Now, it's also not part of the mercury either, because it's bitzad amarkulis. And the Gemara will talk about bitzad, means bitzad may be within arba amos, but it's not actually part of the mercury.
Isn't that what Rashi's saying? When he says, v'kosh gein achas?
So Rashi already knows the Gemara, that it's not mitzad tekroves avodah zarah, it's mitzad a baby mercury. You know, markulis bitzad markulis. The Avodah Zarah is reproducing. So that's what Rashi is already telling you, that certainly if it's in a form of a normal mercury, which is one on top of two, but here Rabbi Yishmael says, even if it's three stones, Zebetzadzeh, not piled up, so the Gemara is going to say that he's choshelish, that osin markulus katan, bitzad markulus gadol. Okay. V'chachamim omrim, sheniros ima wasiros, v'she'en niros ima mutaros. The Chachamim's position seems to be very rational, very very obvious, I should say, which is that if it's niros imo, so presumably, it doesn't matter how many. If it looks like it's close enough that you can assume the guy had bad aim or bounced off the mercury, you know, it rolled after he threw it, so then that was Tekroves Avodah Zarah, we would think. If, or even if it's not Tekroves, maybe the assumption is any stone that's thrown at the mercury now becomes part of the mercury, even if it's not sitting on it. So then, the only question, the question that the Chachamim would be evaluating, was it thrown at the mercury? And if it's thrown at the mercury, done. So it makes sense. Sheniros ima wasuros, sheniros ima mutaros. So now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara doesn't realize this at the start. The Gemara assumes either that, in principle, in order for the stone to be part of the mercury, it's got to be part of the mercury. It's got to land on the mercury. If I throw a stone and I have bad aim and it doesn't get on the mercury, so that's not asur. So the Gemara says as follows: Bishlama Rabbanon Kasavri Ovdim L'Shvarim. The Chachamim hold that the Goyim worship even the Shvarim. It means if something breaks off from an Avodah Zarah, right, we explored this in the last sugya, then in the third paragraph, if something breaks off the Avodah Zarah, so they still worship it. If the primary Avodah Zarah itself is still extant, so they worship the Shvarim and not Betalim unless they're explicitly Mevatel the Shvarim. So therefore, Niros Imo, the Ikalamemar Mine Nofal Asuros. Therefore, those stones that look like they were part of the mercury, but they broke off, so those are asuros. V'she'ein eremimo are mutaros. That makes perfect sense. El Rabbi Yishmael Maikosavar, I ovdim l'shvarim afilu tarti nami l'tzar. Ein ovdim l'shvarim afilu tlas nami lo. The number should make no difference. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, if you know that the stones fell off the mercury, for sure, everybody agrees it's asur. Even according to the Manda Amar elsewhere, that they don't worship Shvarim, that's an Avodah Zarah, that's not normal. Because mercury in the first place is not, you just pile the stones up. There are suyo sleep hole, they're going to fall. So therefore, hain urche, that's normal for the mercury, and you don't say in ovdim l'shvarim. So there's no debate. If you know that the stones fell off from the mercury, no question whatsoever. Ki pligi bistoma. They only argue when you don't know. Bimikuravos nami de ikalame mar mine nofal devrekal asuros. if they're very close to it, Rashi says within an amma or an amma and a half, and the assumption might be that they fell off the mercury, then everybody agrees it's asur. Ki pligi bimruchakos. It's only when they're a little bit away. Rashi says within dalet amos, but at the edge of dalet amos, not within an amma or two, but sort of on the further end. The chachamim. Well, the Gemara is going to explain another line. There's one question first. What the Chachamim, what Rabbi Shmuel hold. But the Chachamim obviously hold that if it, again, even within Dal Amos, if it's near the mercury, it was part of the mercury. Not near the mercury, it wasn't part of the mercury. So first the Gemara just asked, but Fahabit Sad Markulos Katani, it says next to the Markulos. What do you mean, like 3.5 Amos away? So the Gemara says, my Bitsad, Bitsad Arba Amos Dide. Arba Amos. Is its Rishus. The Gemara and the Rishonim don't state this here, but there's a din that Arba Amos Shal Adam Arkonos Lo Bershus Harabim. If nobody's within your Arba Amos, nobody's sharing them, and an object is there, and you want to be Kona, so that's a Takana the Rabbanon that you're Kona. I don't know if it's Rishus Harabim, or thinking maybe in the in between Rishus, but there's a din Arba Amos Shal Adam Arkonos Lo. Why? Because a person's Makom is Arba Amos. Why is your Makom Arba Amos? Because when your body is about 3 Amos, let's assume something like 63 inches, or, you know, yeah, in that neighborhood. Most people are, you know, average person's more than, adult is more than 63 inches tall. Probably the average height of women, and probably, and a little bit less than the average height of men. And when you stretch your hands out, you get another amma. You get another amma. So that's 4 ammos, and that's a din in Shabbos. If you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, your rishus is dalet amos al dalet amos, and you count your tchum from around that. If somehow, by mistake, you went outside the tchum on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to walk anywhere, but you're allowed your own dalet amos, so the avodah zarah's makom is dalet amos as well. Okay, so Rabbi Yishmael, now the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yishmael, savar osin markulus katan mitzad markulus gadol. They would sometimes make a baby mercury next to a big mercury. So shalosh de damyan the markulos asur shtay mutar. So if it's not right near the avodah zarah, the assumption is it didn't fall off the avodah zarah. So it's not shiver avodah zarah. And I think the assumption also is the goyim had good aim, so they didn't miss that much. Then Rabbi Shmuel says, if there are 3, we're afraid it's a markulos gadol. If it's only 2, that's markulos katan. 2 is not markulos katan. The difference between markulos katan and markulos gadol is markulos gadol is always piled up neatly. Markulos katan, you've put 3 stones there. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Tzabri, Enos Markulus Katan B'Tzad Markulus Gadol, Loshna Shalosh V'Loshna Shtayim, Niros Imo Asur She'en Niros Imo Mutaros. Okay. Alright, so that's the initial stage in the Gemara. But it's going to get a little bit more complicated. Omer Mar. B'Yadua She'nashru M'Menu Divrei HaKol Asuros. The Rabbi Yochanan had said that if you know that the stones fell off the mercury, everybody agrees that it's asur. But now he cites a different version of the machlokas of Rabbi Yishmael, the Chachamim, which would suggest otherwise. V'remini, avonim shenashu min amarkulos, niros imo asuros, sheniros imo mutaros. That's the Chachamim's position. Rabbi Yishmael omer, shalosh asur, shtay mutaros. That's Rabbi Yishmael's position. So this Braisa is identical to the Mishnah, but there's only one catch. The Braisa says, Avonim shenashru min hamarkulos. You have stones here that you know fell off, that nashru, to be nosher is like the fall of a tree. So if the stones fell off the mercury, so the Machachab and Rabbi Shmuel argue. So you see that it's not, in other words, what you said is the entire presentation is wrong. Because if you know that the stones fell off the mercury, then the issue is not about, we're not sure whether they fell off the mercury or not. We know what happened. So Rava says immediately, "Amar Rava lo temru shenashu ela she'em ema shenimtzu." Okay, that's one solution to a problematic contradiction. Change one of the texts. That's what Rava says. So it's two stones that are found. A chacham say any stones that are found within karov to the mercury are aser, not karov are mutter, and Rabbi Shmuel gives this distinction. But now the Gemara is a problem. V'hatanya, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, I'm sorry, Sava Rabbi Yishmael Shtayim Mutaros, V'hatanya, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shtayim B'Tvisa Lo, Asuros, Shalosh Afila Meruchakos Asuros. So Rabbi Yishmael apparently claimed that even 2 stones Bitfisa lo, whatever that means. A tfisa usually indicates arm's length, something you can grab. So if there are two stones, bitfisa lo, within arm's length of the mercury, so then they are asuros. Three stones are two are asuros.
Two are not asuros.
I'm sorry. Shtayim b'tfisa are no. Shtayim are asuros, and shalosh, even if they're not b'tfisa, are asuros. That's the stira. Previously, Rabbi Yishmael said, and I assume b'tfisa lo means they're not nirosimo, but b'tfisa lo. So three, even if they're not b'tfisa lo. So it looks like shtayim, which are within maybe dalet amos, and three, even outside of dalet amos. So that's the Gemara's question. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Lukasha. Kan betfisa achas, kan b'shtei tfisas. No. Now, it depends. In other words, tfisa is not a distance, as the Gemara is about to say. Tfisa is actually a topographical barrier. The Gemara is going to say, in a moment, through the next line, the definition, the hechidami, let's read it. The ika gove beni beni. That there is here's the mercury, and then there's like a big thing of land, a little hill here, and there are stones on the other side. So, Rabbi Yishmael says that if it's b'tfisa lo, if it's in one tfisa, two are asuros. If it's within dalet amos, but it's on the other side of this little hill, shtei tfisos, then only three. And what do the chachamim believe? The chachamim believe it all depends upon nirosima or nirosima. So, Rabbi Shmuel's position is the following. When it's b'tfisa achas, it's not clear if he's more choshesh that the two stones, I think Rashi says, let's read Rashi. B'tfisa achas. It's the longest Rashi on the page. It's not very long, but. Hande katani asuros b'tfisa achas shein hefsik beinam l'markulis. There's no break between the stones and the markulis. V'asur bein l'yishmael bein rabbanon. The chol toch dalet amos. Thank you. The toch... What's that? The chol toch dalet amos niros imo kari lei uveshalosh meruchakos hu depligi. So everybody agrees that betfisa achas, when there's no break between the markulas, that's called niros imo. There's no question about that. Not the way we said before. Up to dalet amos is betfisa achas is niros imo. Okay, and everybody would agree that it's aser. Now, and three stones that are far away, that are not within the Dalet Amos, even though it's Tfis Achas, that's where they argue. The Hadu Kim Naleel Plugtayu Bitoch Dalet Amos of Rabbi Shmuel Shtayim Mutaros, the Rabban Gimel Nami Mutaros, Bishtei Tfisos Kedem Mefarish. The first case, I mean, the case of the Mishnah, where the Chachamim say, Eshaniros Imo are Mutaros, are Asuros, and Meeniros Imo are Asuros. So that's a case where there's a height in between. And the Chachamim say, within Dalet Amos, as long if it's on the right side of the mountain, between the mercury and the mountain, hill, not a mountain, so then it's Asuros. If it's on the other side of the mountain, even if it's within Dalet Amos, if the mountain's a little closer to the mercury, it's Mutaros. Rabbi Yishmael agrees with the Chachamim, except for in one detail. If it is B'shtei Tfisos, and it's on the other side of the mountain, Rabbi Yishmael says, two is Mutar, because you know it didn't break off the mercury, but three is Asa. Why? Because it might be a little mercury next to a big mercury. That's the way Rashi understands. It's actually a very difficult Gemara to read, and there are multiple pins in the Rishonim how to stitch the pieces together. I don't want to... It strikes me as a little too detailed and not of sort of sufficient interest going forward to explore, so I feel for the moment it's sufficient with Rashi's position.
Why you have Derech Rechoka? Like Derech Rechoka, you know, that you're not geographically far away.
Well, no, because... I'll tell you the difference. That Sam is making reference to Machlokas HaTanaim. The Torah says that if you're... You don't bring the Karban Pesach, you're Chayv Karis. But if you were Tamei or Bederech Rechoka, so then you are Potter, and you bring Pesach Sheni either way, but in this case you're not Chayv Karis. So the question is, what's a Derech Rechoka? So it's Machlokas HaTanaim. One Tana says, it means 15 mil. It's, 15 kilometers. It's not incredible distance, but it's a real distance. And the other opinion is that, no, if you're standing outside of the Azara, chutzmi, skupas ha-Azara, that's considered derech rechoka. You're only chayiv karis if you're in the Azara and you don't bring a Karban Pesach. So that's a case where Derech HaChokah doesn't mean Derech HaChokah, but here it is Rachok, in the sense that if there's a barrier there for the purposes of what is, could it have fallen from the Avodah Zarah or not, that's a very reasonable physical distinction. Okay. Fine. Now, the Gemara now asks one question on this. Umarkulus ki agavna mihave. Is there such a thing as a baby mercury like this? Vatanya, Elohein avne beis kulis. Now this looks like an avne beis kulis. It looks like the name mercury, but miss it as if it's mar kulis. So the Gemara says, Elohein avne beis kulis, achas mikan ve'achas mikan ve'achas al gabehen. It has to be stacked up, not lying side by side. So Amar Rava ki tanya hi be'ikar merkulis. That's the original, a real mercury, the Danny mercury, has to be one on top of two. But the other ones could not, possibly not be. Now, Tosos here had a problem. And those who are doing Daf Yomi just learned today, I don't remember which Daf it is exactly, I think it's today's Daf. I think it's on Daf Samach Gimel, it's today's Daf. So if you're doing Daf Yomi, you haven't done the Daf yet, so then it's going to be a little bit of a spoiler. The Halacha, the Mishnah says, lists a series of forms of worship where you always get Misa, and then it lists forms of worship that you don't get Misa if it's not normal. If you hug the Avodah Zarah, if you kiss the Avodah Zarah, assuming that's not the way the Avodah Zarah is worshipped, it's a lo sase, but there's no Misa. And then the Mishnah says, Hanoder bishmo v'hamakayim bishmo. Noder we know, it means to take a vow. Neder is a specific kind of vow. What is Mekayim Bishmo? So for the Aramaists here, Rashi points out that the Aramaic translation of the word Lehishava, Nishba, is always Kiyem, Mekayim. So Mekayim Bishmo means Nishba Bishmo. So the Mishnah says that if you know Der Bishmo or Nishba Bishmo of an Avodah Zarah, it's a losase. I remember if the Mishnah says you got Malkos, we assume you do, but you don't get Misa. That's all the Mishnah says. But the Gemara mentions, how do you know you're not allowed to swear by the name of Avodah Zarah? So it's, on a level, it's intuitive, obviously. Swearing by a God's name implies that you recognize the God. But the Gemara quotes a pasuk, V'shem Elohim Acherim lo sazkiru lo yishama alpicha. From this, the Gemara there learns two other things. Number one, that you're not allowed to engage in a business partnership with a non-Jew who's an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Because if you engage in a business partnership, it is a good possibility you'll go to court, and the guy will have to swear, and he will swear by his God, and you will therefore be causing an Avodah Zarah's name to be mentioned. Similarly, the Gemara says, how do you know that a person is not supposed to say to his friend, meet me by such and such an Avodah Zarah house? Okay, we would say, meet me by X, the St. Patrick's Cathedral. How do you know you're not supposed to say that? Lo yishama alpicha. Shema chasaski, lo yishama alpicha. That's what the Gemara says. So basically, you're not allowed to mention the names of Avodah Zarah. Now, as you might have noticed, I at least have violated that many times this morning. I have mentioned Peor and I have mentioned Markulis. Now, can't blame me. The Mishnah was an oral text, and the Mishnah mentions the names many times. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we're going to read the Gemara in a little bit. We will read this Gemara. Why am I? Let's read the Gemara. Okay. Mishnah. Oh, how are you going to read it if I don't have the sheets out? That's good. Okay. It's a hard thing to do. One, two. We're probably not going to finish this today. These will go around the other side. They're coming around. That's just this wing. No, they're only for them. None for you, Lenny. You're going to run out when it gets to you. Sent the mass down that way. Okay. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says as follows. For anybody who's doing Daf Yomi, I'm going to save you a little time now. All right. The Mishnah says... we need Adrian and Lenny need. Okay. Ha'oved Avodah Zarah. Echad ha'oved, which Rav Yirmiyah says in the Gemara means kedarko. If you worship any Avodah Zarah in its normal form of worship, yechayev. If you slaughter to it, if you burn to it, if you libate, if you bow, if you accept it as a god, and the difference is whether it's present or not present. Yechayev Misa, Yechayev Skila. Aval Hamagafev, Vahamanashe, Vahamachabed, Vahamarabed, Vahamarachet, Vahasach, Vahamabush, Vahamanil. If you hug it or you kiss it or you sweep in front of it or you marbits the dust, you sprinkle water to keep the dust down in front of it. Or if you wash the Avodah Zarah, if you anoint the Avodah Zarah, if you dress the Avodah Zarah, if you put shoes on the Avodah Zarah, over below Saseh. If that's not the normal way of worshipping it, you only get Malkus. Or you only violate a lot. What? I'm sorry?
Can you explain how Mechabed then?
It means to sweep.
Oh, the Mechabed?
Yeah.
Oh, I've always read that as respect.
No, I think Mechabed and Merabed are sweeping the floor. Merabed is keeping the dust down. That's what I assume Mechabed is. You have to check, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it makes more sense. These are all forms of kavod, but because it's not the normal way of worshiping the Avodah Zarah, you're not chay misa. You only violate a lav, and you get malchus. Hanoder bishmo v'amakayim bishmo, over below sase. Poer atzmo lebal peor. If you defecate to Avodah Zarah, zoe avodasa. That's the normal avoda. Hazorik even the markulus, zoe avodasa. That's the way it's normally worshipped. So even though it's not one of the big four, mizabeach, menaseach, mekater, and mishtachave, nonetheless you get misa. So now the Gemara says the following: Hano de bishmo v'makayim bishmo reza below sasei. Hano de bishmo v'makayim bishmo minolan. How do you know? Titanya v'shem Elohim achrim lo sas kiru shelo yomer adam lachaveru shmor li b'tzar avodah zarah plonis. Don't tell your friend, wait for me by such and such a place. Shelo alo yishma al picha shelo yidor bishmo v'lo yikayim bishmo. You shouldn't cause others, and it probably means Goyim, to take a vow or an oath by the name of the Avodah Zarah. Davar acher, lo yishama al picha, azhara lemesis ulemediach. Lo yishama al picha is a warning against someone who tries to seduce someone else to worship Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara says, really, Mesis, behed yaksiv bei, b'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro, el azhar l'madiach. Madiach is one of the people who causes the people of the city to worship Avodah Zarah and to become an irani dachas. So how do you know? The Torah punishes a madiach, but how do you know you're not allowed to be one? There's a principle that's assumed that lo anashakasav elam kein hizir. When if you do not find a punishment in Scripture, unless the Torah somewhere has warned not to do X. Einon shenela in kein mazirin. That's the rule. So now the Gemara says, you shouldn't cause anybody else to swear by the Avodah Zarah. The Amr Avodah Shmuel also la Adam sheyasa shutfes imanochri shema yischayev lo shvua v'nishba Avodah Zarah shalom. He's going to end up swearing by the Avodah Zarah. Torah Amr leishem al picha. So that I can imagine many people all of a sudden going to start to get worried. That becomes a problem. Can't engage in a business partnership with a non-Jew. Now remember, in Eretz Yisrael, that might have been relevant. If you lived in Northern Europe, medieval Northern Europe, that was basically an impossibility. Even in America, I mean, maybe if you live in Borough Park, you could do business only with other Jews, but at some point, somebody's going to have to do business with somebody outside. Somebody's, unless they're growing all the produce in Borough Park, someone's going to have a contract with some farmer who's delivering produce or some company. So, we'll talk about that. But anyway, so now the Gemara, Shema Yischayev lo shvua v'nishba avodah zarah shalo. The guy's going to be, if he might become obligated in oath, and he'll swear by his avodah zarah, v'atar omar lei shem al picha. You're causing it to be mentioned. Ki asa ula bos bikal nabo. When ula came, he slept over. Bos is a word, it's a great word. It's a denominative verb. In Aramaic, the verb to sleep over is lavus, beis vav or beis yutaf. What does it mean? We have it in English also. I live in a house, and if I have company, and I keep them overnight, what am I doing to them? I'm housing them. So, bayis in Aramaic, beisas, house, and lemevos is to house, to sleep over. So, bos, ula slept in kal nabo, which was, so, Amar le Rava v'hechi Bosmar. When Ula came, he said, "Where did the master sleep?" Amar le b'kal nabo. He told him the place. Amar le v'oksiv v'shem elahim achrim lo saskiru. Why? Kal nabo was probably called Nevo, and Nevo was a Moabite god. So Amar le Ula said to him, "Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol avodah zarah k'suva b'torah muto lahaskir shma. Any avodah zarah that's mentioned in Scripture, you're allowed to state it. If God could state it, Moses could state it, then you can state it too." That's a strange din. Who gave Moses the right to violate the Isser? Okay, God dictated him. What about the Nevi'im? Because we're going to see the raya that Ula brings, that Nevo is mentioned, Nevi'im, is from Nevi'im. It's not from Torah.
This is
our Nevo,
yeah?
Probably the same, yeah. So that's crazy. How could Yeshaya violate the Isser? Or Yirmiyahu? So, the Gemara says, challenges us for a moment. If it's not mentioned, you're not allowed to say it. Masiv Rav Misharshia, Ra Achas Meruba Kishalo, Shehi Kimigadyon Lishilo, Shehim Shtei Tfilos Ushnesi, Pugam Arez Zev Gomer. It's not our issue, but this Mishnah is a Mishnah in Zavim. In its briefest form, I won't give this. A Zav is someone who has a male who has an emission, which is not semen, but is probably some type of a pus. It's some type of probably infection or disease. A Zav, a male who has three re'ios, even on one day, is chayiv to bring a karban. They have to be three separate re'ios, even if it's on one day. By contrast to a woman who becomes a Zava, a woman who bleeds not during her normal period, but in the in-between period, in between time, a woman has to bleed three consecutive days, not three times on one day. It's not enough. But Zav can be three times on one day, but not only three times on one day. If he has an excessively long re'iyah, it can count as two, it can count as three, but how long is long? So the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah gives a shear, if to count as ra'achas meruba kishalosh, which is like mi gadyon l'shilo, it's the amount of time it takes to go from place A to place B, which is also the amount of time it takes you to dip in the mikveh twice and dry yourself off twice. Okay? Shem shtei tfilos shtei sibugim. Harez zav gamar. It's like you had three separate re'iyahs. So how could you mention the name God? God was a god. Amar Ravina God nami michtaksiv. God is also mentioned. Dichsiv in Yeshaya ha'orchim la God shulchan. So that's what the Gemara says. You're only allowed to mention Avodah Zarah if it's mentioned in Scripture. So again, you can ask the question, why? Why is it mutter? You know, we learned the Gemara earlier in this Masechta. I'm trying to remember where the daf is. I think it's in the first parak. It is, first parak. Misa sheyesh bo sreifa. Whether or not, so the Gemara discusses, are you allowed to burn sorfan ala malachim or not? So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, sorfan ala malachim ve'imo mishum tarchei amori. You're allowed to burn the king's stuff, and it's not considered an imitation of the Gentile practices. You know how the Gemara concludes it's not? Because if it's written in Scripture, then it's not a violation of Chukos HaGoyim. But there we understand why. There, the reason it's not Chukos HaGoyim, the Gemara says, because if it's written in Scripture, it means we didn't learn it from the Goyim, we had it ourselves. It's just because they do the same thing, doesn't mean it's us for us to do. But what does that have to do with mentioning another God's name? Why are the Nevi'im allowed to do it? So, before we answer that question, which we may not get to answer today, I'll keep you in suspense until Tzom Gedalia. I'm thinking about giving a special topic on Tzom Gedalia. Maybe. If I do, I think it'll be actually more Tanakh shir, a little mention of Tanakh and Gemara, about the history of Tzom Gedalia, because I think most people have never learned it. Most yeshiva day school curriculums, I assume Ramaz is the same, when you get to 8th grade, you do Malachim Aleph. And then you get to high school, at least I don't remember Ramaz, but when I went to high school, they assumed you knew all of Navi by then. So you never looked at Malachim Beis. So some high schools do Navi, I assume Ramaz does also, but they may do other things in Navi, but not that. And even if you did Malachim Beis, you have to get to the end of Malachim Beis, literally the last chapter, to get one pasuk mentioning Tzom Gedalia. However, I know for certainty that probably none of the schools learn Yirmiyahu, where there are two or three chapters dedicated to the story of Gedalia and what happened to the Druze afterwards. So it's kind of worth exploring aspects of the Yom. So, and like I say, I now committed myself to doing that next week, so I'll keep you in suspense for 2 weeks until Motzei Yom Kippur, and then we will solve the problem. At the moment, we're just going to create the problem. So, Tosfos was bothered by a question. It's fair to say that Mercury was never mentioned in Tanakh. Mercury is a Roman god, and there are no Roman gods in Tanakh. The closest you might have gotten would have been the Book of Daniel, maybe parts of it, which makes reference to future kingdoms. Still no reference. The only Avodah Zarah is mentioned in Daniel are the Avodah Zarah of the, if there are any, if I don't remember if there's a specific mention, is of the Babylonians. So, here, until now, we've been calling it Marculus. suspend your knowledge that there's a god called Mercury. Here it says, Avnei Beis Kulis. Tosfos writes the following. Hiksha Rabbeinu Tam, this is the third Tosfos on the bottom. Heich mazkirin shemo kevon she'ena ksuva b'Torah. The Meperek Arba Misos Mashma, the Ovar Avishem Elohim Achivim Lo Saskiru. It sounds like you violate, and it's a very interesting expression. He says Mashma. What do you mean Mashma? As in the European in the Yeshivish based medicine, they say, what do you mean Mashma? Das steht in the Gemara. It says it das steht beferish, as they would say. It says it explicitly in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara said, I remind you, the Gemara said in Sanhedrin. Where is it? V'shem the Tanya. V'shem Elohim Achirim Lo Saskiru. Shelo Yomar Adam L'Chaver Shmar Li B'Tzan Avo Dezara Plonis. But it's interesting. Tosa says Mashma. Mashma. It says it explicitly. Mashma means it sounds like it. So that's the question. Mashma that you violate V'shem Elohim Lo Saskiru. V'Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The kilus l'shon shevach shema. The name of the Avodah Zarah, as we saw here, is base kilus. And they gave that name to the Avodah Zarah, kilus, because kilus is a word for praise. Right? Levarech, le'alei, u'lekales. So, he says, but, b'chachamim kinu oso kulis l'shon la'ag v'keles, mockery. In other words, the word kulis is not the name of the Avodah Zarah. It's Mechana Shem Avodah Zarah. It's mocking it. As I mentioned earlier, you're allowed to do that. It's that you're supposed to be Mechana Shem. Okay. Vizehu Mar Kulis Chiluf Kilus Lishon Mar Mar Deshchuta Peregiranashe Mar Dekanta. Okay. So I think Tosis understands the word Amar as Tamura, Chiluf, swapping. Okay. Anyway, that's what Tosfos says. Now, there is a problem, of course. Tosfos' drasha on the word Marakulis is very nice, and it is interesting that the Braisa does call it Avnei Beis Kilos. The only problem is, we know what the name of the Avodah Zarah is. It's Marakulis, and that's just the... Marculus is the same thing as Mercury. The Lamed and Resh and Nun are all liquid consonants, and they swap very easily. So Marculus is the same thing as Marcuris, Mercury. It's very, very simple. So if that's the case, Tosis' question comes back again. Why is it Mutu to do so? So there are, I would say, two questions that we have to ask about this particular Isser that Tosu says is Mashma. Question number one, is this really an Isser? Is it real Isser Daraisa? Or is the Pasuk only an Asmachta? Now, in the Gemara itself, there's no indication. But there actually is perhaps something telling in the Mishnah. What's telling in the Mishnah? Well, what did the Mishnah list? It listed things you chayiv misa for, and it listed things that you only violate lav, you don't get malchus. What did the Mishnah not list?
Mentioning the name.
Correct. It says, no der mishmo, u'mekayim mishmo. Now, it's true in the Gemara, they're basically learned from the same pasuk, but as I hinted to earlier, there's an obvious difference between the two. When I swear by a God's name, right, Chazal say Yosef swore, when Yosef swore to his brothers, they didn't know it was Yosef. Chay Faro, right? Chay Faro, he swore by the life of Paro. Yosef, certainly in the Medrash, didn't have much regard for Paro, right? But when you swear, but he was putting on a show. When you swear, you know, when the Navi says, when Eliyahu says, Chay Hashem Tzvakos, I swear by God, that's a kind of an acceptance. It's surprising to me, in fact, that you're not Chay Misa, that it's not the equivalent of saying, Mekablo ala beloa. It's not considered the equivalent of saying Eliata. Okay, but even if it's not, you understand by swearing by a God's name, that's what gives force to your oath. And so you don't need, that's a question. In some pastures, you don't need to swear by God's name. I think I told you once about this No, that was a different issue. No, it's a machlokas about God's name. Pashtus, you don't need to swear by God's name. Swearing falsely. But either way, when you swear by God's name, you're giving force to your oath. It's as if this God will be the enforcer. Saying, meet me by, you know, the particular church or whatever it is, if it's a Beis Avodah Zarah, so that's not giving chashiv, it's the landmark. Now, it could be still an issur d'rabbanan, but it means that there may be much broader latitude. Question number two, perhaps should be more relevant, is the scope of the prohibition. Is it usur to mention under all circumstances? For example, you're not allowed to learn the practice of sorcery. You can't practice sorcery. The Torah says in a few weeks ago's parsha, Lo samad lasos kesavos hagayim haheim. You shouldn't learn to do like their abominations. Lo yimatzei v'cha mavir b'no v'to ba'esh. You shouldn't be found amongst you someone who passes his children through fire. Me'onein u'mrach Kosem kisamim me'onein u'menachei shumachasheifs. All sorts of sorcery. So the Gemara says, lo sumad lasos, you're not allowed to learn to do. But the Gemara says, aval atalameid lahavenu lahoros. You're allowed to study it in order to be able to teach and to understand. It's not clear that may mean even practicing it. You have to test it out or something like that. Right? So you have a prohibition related to avodah zarah. The prohibitions of sorcery are abizrayu d'avodah zarah. They are side prohibitions of idolatry. Those who are learning Daf Yomi know that there's even a shita that Bnei Noach are not allowed to engage in sorcery and those kinds of things. It's clear from the conceptual underpinnings of sorcery and magic that they are forms of, they are sort of abizrayu d'avodah zarah. They're offshoots of avodah zarah. So you're not allowed to do it, to practice it, but if you have to learn, let's say to teach it, or your Sanhedrin, you have to learn to Pascha, and you have to know what you're doing, so you're allowed to do it. So the prohibition isn't absolute; it's heavily intent driven. To give you another example, one of the things that a very important machlokas Abai and Rava, if you're oved avodah zarah may avo miyira, the way Rashi explains, you're afraid of a person or you love a person, and that's why you worship the avodah zarah. So there's a machlokas Abai and Rava, but the Gemara in trying to prove the issue, cites a number of cases. And one of the things that emerges from the Gemara is that it's not so simple to come up with a case of avodah zarah b'shogeg unless the person thinks it's mutter to worship avodah zarah. Why? Because avodah zarah, what we call shigagas maisa, an error in action, how is that possible? Avodah zarah is a prohibition that is driven primarily by intent. If you bend down in front of avodah zarah to pick up your wallet, maybe you're not supposed to do it because of maaris ayin, but it can't be avodah zarah because avodah zarah requires intent, right? If the guy says, just do this to the avodah zarah, and you do it with a different intent, so we may or may not know your intent, but if you don't intend to worship it, to accept as a god, it's not avodah zarah. So it may be that all prohibitions of avodah zarah to some extent depend heavily upon the intent. And like the example I gave of the sorcery. So the same issue, so we understand the distinction between mekayim bishmo versus mentioning avodah zarah. But it could be that within the avodah zarah, that how it's being used or why you use it might even regulate either a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition. In other words, even it might be only derabbanan, which would still be asur, but even if it's d'oraisa, it might be that mentioning the name in some ways is asur and mentioning the name in other ways is mutar. So, for example, it might be that mentioning it, wait for me by next to Pa'or, Baal Pa'or. So that, except for the fact that Pa'or is mentioned in Tanakh, maybe that would be asur. But if I'm teaching Torah, and I need to know how we evaluate Dinam and Avodah Zarah, how you deal with the Mercury, so then you're allowed to mention the name Mercury, because, how else am I going to teach you? It's going to be confusing if, it's not helpful when you teach people things to use euphemism. So instead, I tell you Mercury, because we're talking about the Dinam Mercury. That's like Lahavin Lahoras. So those are really the questions we have to explore. Number one, whether it's an Issur d'oraisa or an Issur d'rabbanan. And number two, whichever way it is, what is the scope of the Issur? Does it apply in all circumstances? Or does it, in fact, apply in a limited number of circumstances? Just to show you a very misleading source, the Tur, the son of the Rush, the third to last source on the sheet, and it's the last thing we'll read for now, the Tur says, Hanoder onishba b'shem Eliel, one who swears or takes a vow with the name of an Avodah Zarah, Hareze Loka, It's Yigam Malkus. The Osur Afilu Lahazkira Bishma Bechinam Shelo Letzorech. He says it is prohibited even to mention it by name for no purpose, meaning Bechinam Shelo Letzorech. Now, if you read this particular issue, what would you say the scope of the prohibition is?
Reference.
What's that?
Reference even for geography.
Well, no, but he says bechinam shelo letzorach. It says he says it's aser even if you're not swearing, just to mention it bechinam shelo letzorach is aser. So the conclusion I might reach from this is that letzorach is mutar.
Right.
If there's a need. Now there are two problems with this. Number one, the Rush, his father, where he presumably got this from, said exactly the opposite. What and why was the Rush bothered by? Well, in the case of the Gemara, is it Letzorach or Shelo Letzorach? In the Gemara's case, is the Gemara the example the Gemara cites Letzorach for a need or not for a need?
Letzorach.
It's Letzorach.
Yeah.
I'm telling you where to wait for me.
Right.
So everybody the Beis Yosef just assumes that I don't remember how he answers the problem. The Taz gives a whole pilpul on his own, but the assumption is the Torah didn't mean what it sounds like. If I were fixing the Torah, I would just read the following. Just move the word afilu. It's a misplaced modifier. Right? It's also to mention it, even if it's shelo letzorach, and that would be what the Rush said. The Rush said the Gemara's example was letzorach, but the Rush says even shelo letzorach, you're not allowed to mention it. Okay, so that's the question that we have to explore. Exactly what are the full parameters of this isser? And God willing, in 2 weeks, we will resume with our source sheet, and hopefully get to the bottom of this. I want to wish everybody a ksiva chasima tova, a good gemen shor, and a good yantiv, and I will be'ezras Hashem see you on Song Gedalia.